I was looking forward to a special, but no special tonight. But the kids were good, brother. They were excellent tonight. Thought about preaching a message on pie. Is it pie tonight? But I thought maybe that wouldn't be the proper thing. Well, it's good to be here with you. The last time I stood behind this pulpit was 3/15/20. I was here the last service that we had in our church on that Sunday. That following Wednesday, we closed the thing down because of this COVID crisis that's going around. So I know what it's like. It's been a while. I taught Sunday school this morning a little bit and told them about the attack on Christianity. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it goes through a list of things that we're living in days where there's people without character, there's people without convictions, there's people without conscience, and there's people without certainty. Thank God we can have all of those things. Amen? God's people ought to have some character, shouldn't we not? God's people ought to have some good Bible convictions to live by. And God's people ought to have a conscience that's void of the things of this world. And thank God we have a certainty. One day this old preacher, and I hope all of you in here be able to join me, we're going to spend eternity in heaven. Won't it be wonderful then? I'm not going to sing that song. Thought about it, but I'll back off from that. I don't know how much you know about 1 John. 1 John is an interesting, he's very prolific writer of scriptures. He wrote the Gospel of John talking about his love for the Lord. He spent his 3.5 years of the Lord's time on this earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote the Gospel of John to just get us a glimpse in to what it means to follow the Lord and live for God. And so what a wonderful thing that is. But that was talking about the past. He also wrote the book of Revelation. Revelation gives us a glimpse into the future. It's going to be a very discouraging time. We heard a little about that today, and a lot of people are going to face that place called hell. And what a great message that was this morning from Pastor BJ. But the epistles of John, if you know anything about that, John is talking about the present. He's trying to encourage people in his time in the epistles how to live for Christ in the days that you and I live in today. Isn't that good to know? I hope, if nothing else, this message will whet your appetite to dig into 1 John. You got problems in your life? You can get them solved in 1 John. God has a way of working through the scriptures in our heart to give us things that we need. And so we need to understand, in any area of life that you're struggling with, we can find help in the Word of God. And I trust this message tonight that I preach to you will be a blessing and a help to you. The message title for tonight is Finding Clarity in Confusing Times. And I don't have to take a big brain to figure this out. We are certainly living in confusing times, are we not? These times are difficult. These times are deceptive. These times are dangerous that we live in right now. And so we need to take heed. And so John is talking about this. In the previous chapter, he talked about the impact of having a living message, living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm a preacher, but you know, every one of us are preachers in here. You're preachers at work. Young people, you're preachers at school. We're all preachers in our neighborhood, so to speak. We're preachers in our country. And so God's looking for us to be a living example of what it means to have Christ living in us, the hope of glory. Praise God, he can use us. Everyone in here can be used of God. 1 John 1:8 says he's given us that power. All power is given unto us. Amen? And so we have the power to live an effective, victorious life for the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you don't get anything else out of the message, understand that. We can have victory in our life. So let me get into the message here a little bit today. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this confusing time. I've heard this statement over and over again. I heard it when I was growing up. I've heard it recently. I've heard preachers say it from the pulpit. I've heard it in Bible conferences that I've been to for the last many years. This world or this country is in a mess. Haven't you heard that saying? Thank the Lord. We need to understand that. I'm sure they thought the world was a mess in the Civil War times when brothers were killing brothers. They thought the world was a mess when Allied forces were fighting Germany, Japan, and I know many of you have service in Italy in those areas. I grew up in the 60s. I graduated in the in the 50s, was a young man in the 60s called the hippie movement. It was a time when they protested the Vietnam War and just degraded our servicemen who fought in that tremendous war. And so confusing times have been around us for a long time. In fact, they started in the Garden of Eden. The moment that Adam sinned and Eve sinned in the garden and were dispelled from the garden, the truth is the situation got so bad, so hectic, so ugly that God had to come down. He says, I've got to destroy this world. We're living in a wicked world today. Very confusing times. But I want you to know, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. We can live victorious Christian lives. We don't have to fall into sin, although it's possible. We can live a victorious life. We don't have to understand and get into the mindset of this world. We are not of this world. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. Amen. And we're not going to be here very much longer. Pastor BJ talked this morning and he'd been married 16 years. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow, my wife and I, she's in a memory care center, will be married 63 years. What a wonderful life God has given this preacher. What a wonderful opportunity she's presented to me. And I've tried the best I can, and I have failed, and so have you, to be a living example for folks around me. I want to be a light that others can see. There's someone there trying to live for God, trying to be a testimony for him. And I hope you get that from this message here this morning. So there is a great deal of confusion in our work today. But I want you to understand this. If you understand nothing else, confusion is not from God. He is not the author of confusion. And so 1 Corinthians, I think 14:33 says this, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches and of all saints. That means this. That means it's possible for you to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. That means we can live a life that's pleasing and honoring to him. And so I hope you understand that confusion doesn't come from God. Confusion comes from a society that has denied God, denied the Bible, and taken him out of everything. As I said, I went to college in the 60s, and I understand what it's like. The hippie movement was a tragedy. The Vietnam War was a tragedy. But we don't have to live like that. We can live lives that are different. So John is talking about this in this passage of Scripture here. The impact of a living message. You and I, how we live, whether it's good or bad, we are preachers too. And we need to understand by the way we live, by what you do, by the way you behave, we can either say amen to that or oh my, amen. But God's people need to get close to the Lord. We need to understand we can have an impact with a living message that God is in us. Thank the Lord. So John's going to be talking about that in his passage of Scripture here this morning. And so I want you to know that being filled of the Holy Spirit is not something that we do. You can get as much of the Holy Spirit as you want, or you can get as little as you want. My advice to you is get as much of that Holy Spirit power within you so you can live a life that's pleasing and honoring to God. So the filling of the Spirit in our life is the work of Almighty God. You have nothing to do with it. We are nothing in the scheme of things. If we got our just deserts, we'd spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell, Brother BJ. But thank God he saved us. Thank God we can be a living example. Thank God we can live a life that has an impact on others. Thank God we can be honestly living and be useful in our lives for him. It's important. We don't have to get caught up in the confusing mess of this world today. So how do we navigate through the confusing times that we live in today? What do we have to do in our life? 1 John 4 and verses 1 through 6 talks all about that. You don't have to be a confused Christian. We can understand what's going on. The Bible is God's mind on everything. You got a problem in a certain area in your life? Search it out. The Bible is God's mind on everything. He can help you in finances. He can help you in your marriage. He can help you with your family. He can help you with everything. The Bible is God's mind on everything. And thank God he can give us help and things that we need in our life. So John gives us some principles in this passage of Scripture. I think that'll help each one of us in our life and understanding that we can live a dynamic life, finding clarity in confusing times. In verse number one, look at that verse again. I'm going to give you five principles that'll help you in your life. Five things that must be in your life. If you want to have clarity in a confusing world, you must apply these principles to your life. This is not a hope I'm going to get to these things. This is a must. John is talking to believers here. He's talking to people in the present time there. And two centuries later, in our lifetime, those principles still stand out. God's word never changes. It was good yesterday, it's good today, and it'll be good tomorrow. Amen? You can have confidence in God's word. So number one, he says, be cautious. Look at verse 1 again. He says, beloved, underline that, believe not every spirit, but try, underline that, try the spirits, whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into this world. So we need to understand, everything that you see in this world is not of God. The devil is the prince and power of this earth that we live in right now. I know God overall is in charge of everything. But you better recognize that Satan is knocking on doors. He may be knocking on your door here and you're in church tonight. We're so close to being a backslidden carnal Christian that we can't even understand how close we are sometimes. And so we need to understand, we have to be cautious there. That word try the spirits means to test, to prove, to examine, to find out if it's true or not. You know, there's a lot of people walking around today, a lot of preachers walking around today, and a lot of Bible translations out there in society today that are not right. They've taken the blood of Christ out, and when you take the blood of Christ out, there's no salvation. And so there are a lot of books out there. Many of the cults have false books in their repertoire to understand that. So the main idea here is to be cautious, is to examine, to approve. Not everything that says it's Christ is of Christ. There's anti-Christ, against Christ. And so we need to understand that in our life. And the best way to do that is knowing the Scriptures. I trust you have a plan of reading through the Bible. Amen? We need to all have a plan of reading through the Bible. I hope you can read it through maybe multiple times during the year. As preachers, many times we have to study and things like that, and so we get off on things, but I try to make it a plan in my life to read the New Testament and the Old Testament daily, plus Psalms and Proverbs through monthly, just to try to get a little bit of the mind of God. I'll tell you what, you'll not accomplish much in your life if you're not a biblicist, one that loves this book. God loves us so much, he gave us a Bible. Can you picture that? You know the people at Harvard University, you can go there if you want. A degree costs you $45,000 to $75,000, depending on what you want to do per year. But you can get a degree from Harvard. But you know the founder of Harvard University? That statue is still there today in front of that institution that was founded upon biblical principles. They have the founder sitting on a chair, and guess what he's got on his lap? The Bible. You can see that today if you ever go to Harvard up that way. You can see that. Our institutions today are corrupt. They don't have the mind of God anymore. They haven't been cautious. And so understanding our educational system today, I hate to say that, is basically corrupt spiritually. I mean, you'll get some academics, you'll get some head knowledge, you'll be able to do some things, but not spiritual things. And what we need in our life, my friends, if you're going to find clarity in the confusing times we live in, you must be cautious because the devil is out there knocking on doors and we need to understand. Number two, you need to be concerned. Look at verse number 2 and 3. You have to look at people's confession. It kind of goes along with verse number 1, but listen to what it says. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. What's that talking about? That's talking about the incarnation of Christ. Do you believe that Jesus walked on this earth for 33 and a half years or so? Yes, he did. Jesus left heaven to come down to earth and paid the penalty on the cross for our sin, shed his blood so we had have an opportunity to be saved. Thank God for that. So you need to be concerned about people that are going around today. And then it follows up, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. There's a lot of people believe today that he is not of God. Many of the false religions today, for example, the Jehovah Witnesses believe that he was a created God. No, he was God. Amen. The Mormons believe he was created by God and also a brother of Lucifer. You're going to have Mormons knocking on your door one of these days. What are you going to do? The best thing to do is, this is my humble opinion, slam the door. Shut the door. Don't let them in. Now, unless you know what you're doing, you be careful of these cults that are going around. The Muslims go so far to say that God has no son. In fact, if you go to Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, you will find out on the Dome of the Rock is engraved in granite those words, God has no son. That's the Muslim beliefs today. And so all of those things we must be careful about in these false religions. The atheists say there's no God. It's just a bunch of fairy tales. And so Satan is using these cults. They're walking up and down our neighborhoods. They're confusing people. A lot of folks get sucked into those. I've had people leave Baptist churches and join cults. I could never understand that. But I realize that Satan has a lot of power. And your friends, your loved ones, someone that you know that you're close to can get sucked into one of these organizations and they can be confused in their life. I'm not saying they won't go to heaven. If they're saved, they're going to go to heaven. But their life is going to be a mess. They're going to end up one day regretting the decision they made to leave a good, fundamental, independent, Baptist, soul-winning, missionary-minded church to go to a cult. Cults will let you down every time. So we have to be concerned about the confessions that people made. He uses that word confessions there. That means agree with. You've got to understand there's a lot of people don't agree with what we have to say or don't agree with what the Bible has to say. Shun those people. Stay away from those people. They'll leave you in a place where it's not good. And understanding that Romans 1:18 through verse 22 talks about that situation there. Let me just read a part of that there. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." You need to be careful in your life. You need to be concerned and understanding. God wants to use us and help us in our life, but we've got to understand and put some of these to find clarity in confusing times we live in. We've got to, number one, be cautious. You got to try the Spirit. You got to know this book, because there's people out there that are anti this book. Antichrist. So you need to know this book. And thank God, I know many of you are working on scripture memorization programs, and I recommend that. Help you, especially if you've got a problem in an area of your life. You ought to look up every scripture that applies to that, and you ought to memorize those scripture. That way, when the next temptation comes on your life, you won't succumb to that temptation, but you'll be able, through the power of God, to resist that temptation. There's always a choice out there. You can make a choice to do bad, or you can make a choice to do good. Let's make choices to do good. Amen. So we've got to be cautious. We've got to try the Spirit, so learn the Bible. We've got to be concerned. You've got to test people's confession. Everyone that says they are of Christ are not of Christ. And number three, we need to be confident. Trust God to work through us. You know, God wants to work through you, and the Holy Spirit will give you power that you never realized that you had. You can get as much of it, as I mentioned, as you want of God's power. He wants to use us, does he not? He wants to see your life be victorious for him. He wants to see you make right choices. He wants your life to be a living example for him and have a life that amounts to something. Thank God that's all possible because of the Holy Spirit living in us. Thank God we need to understand that. So we need to be confident. Trust God to work things out. Look at verse number 4. He says, now just catch this. Ye are of God. Can you get that in your mind? The moment I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I became a child of God. Isn't that a wonderful? I mean, you ought to just put that on your watch band, put that on your shirt sleeve. We are of God. Can you imagine that? What a wonderful statement that is. And he says, little children, and what? Have overcome the world, because greater is in that is in you than he that is in the world. You remember when Satan tries to work through God's people, when God tries to work through us, Satan always brings in opposition. When Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody were making ministries effective for God, Satan opposed them with raising up people like Karl Marx. And by the way, folks, you better vote right this year. That philosophy is permeating our political party. You better vote right. Hope that God gives us 4 more years of mercy. I don't know if he will or not. We could go into a situation to you would not recognize the country we live in. We have to live lives that are pleasing and overcoming. But we can be confident we are of God. Why? Because of the goodness of God. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord he's defeated Satan. Thank the Lord our faith in God can give us victory. Thank the Lord we believe that Jesus is God's Son and the power and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And thank God we can get the strength that he provides for us in any situation that we will come across in our life. We don't have to give in to the things of this world. We can live lives that are pleasing and honoring to him. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, there has no temptation, no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful. Amen. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So we don't have to live defeated, discouraged, depressed, full of doubt lives, confused in a confused world. We can find clarity from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Thank God. We can get clarity for life. We don't have to give in to the things of this world. And thank God he wants to use us in a special way. So how can we be consistent overcomers in our life? I wrote down a few things here that might be a help to you. Number one, you got to submit yourself unto him daily. The Apostle John was a tremendous man. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much. In fact, when Jesus died on the cross, he told John, can you take care of my mom? He put his mother in the hands of John. That's how much he loved the Apostle John. It'd be wise for you to read through these epistles of John. I think you'll find something that'll be great help to you in your life. So we got to submit ourselves. 1 Corinthians 9:27, by keeping under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means. This always meant something to me. When I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The medical doctors say this, that in a 24-hour period, 20,000 thoughts go through our minds. You hear that? 20,000 thoughts. As I've preached this message here tonight, how many thoughts have went through your mind? You know why I take notes? And sometimes it's repetition, and I know that. But I don't want to get distracted from what the man of God is saying from this pulpit. And I'm going to concentrate, even though I'm a back row Baptist back there with Terry and Barb. We're back row Baptists. But I'm going to concentrate on what this preacher has to say. I took notes this morning, Brother BJ. I take notes all the time. I want to get everything I can from the mind of God. When a preacher preaches the word of God, you need to take notice. We need to understand that message that morning, that evening, that Wednesday might just be for you. And so we need to understand. So you've got to submit yourself. Number two, Satan's temptations must be resisted. You've got to be prepared for battle. 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That means you look at somebody that's fallen into sin, it can happen to you. There's not a one of us in here that are immune to things. And so we've got to remember there, we got to be confident. We're a child of God. We got to live a little bit differently. Number three, I think you need to be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And then lastly, supplication. I hope you have a consistent prayer life. If you don't, you're going to have problems. I don't mean just praying once in a while. I mean you need to have a secret closet someplace. I don't know where that might be in your house. I'm staying by myself. Basically, I'm a confirmed bachelor, I guess you might say now, with my wife in a memory care center. And so I have a lot of secret closet. The whole place is a secret closet. So I can pray while I'm walking with my walker in the house. I can pray while I'm sitting in my recliner. I can pray in my kitchen when I'm preparing a meal. But I hope you take some time to pray. You need God's power. You need God's help. You need his guidance in your life. And if you don't have a consistent prayer life and in commune with the holy God of this universe, you're going to slip. It's not all at once. It's gradual. You'll slip a little bit here. You'll slip a little bit there. And before long, your life won't be recognized as a living example of the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us to live lives that are pleasing and honoring to him. Let me get through the last couple of points here. We need to be cautious. Don't be gullible. Try the spirits. Do they line up with the Bible? Number two, be concerned. Examine carefully the things that are going on in this world. Number three, be confident. Trust God to lead you along life's path. Or you're going to be looking back at your life one day and say, boy, I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd went there. I wish I'd done that. I'll tell you what, we need to be confident. Number four, we need to be careful. Verse number five, this world is wicked. It's confusing. And you're going to get trapped up in it if you're not careful. 1 John says this in verse number five. They, that's this world, are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. God gives a warning to us here in this passage of Scripture that not to have the lifestyles and the philosophies of this world, or they're going to lead you in a place where you don't want to go. You're going to slip and be in a place where you don't want to, you wouldn't recognize. So we need to be careful in our lives. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Satan's goal and aim in life and appeal is to present a glamorous lifestyle. Do we not see that coming in on our TVs, on our cell phones, through 5G? I've determined I'm not going to get 5G. I'm just not going to do it. You know, there's going to be intruding into your life like you've never seen before. And you say, well, I think I can take it. Well, can your kids? Can your grandkids? So we need to be careful in our life that we don't get caught up in the things of the world. Everything that you see on TV, coming over the cell phones, and on the internet is basically not of God. So you better be careful or you're going to slip up, or you're going to say, man, I'd like to do that. That sounds good. Just one little drink with the boys at work. Nobody will know that. I mean, I'm sure the pastor wouldn't mind. He may not, but God minds. And you've slipped a little bit. You start conforming to this world, and it's going to destroy you. Little by little by little. Must be so careful. We got to be on guard for those things. And so we've got to understand that. Most of this world is on the wavelength of the devil. And so anything you get from media is not going to be good. The priorities of this world is drinking, getting high, getting rich, sexual immorality, a thirst for power, seeking emotional and physical thrills of life. That's basically what this world is all about. And it's going to present itself very glamorous to you. And you've got to be careful with the worldly world that we live in today. Don't adopt their philosophies in your life. Then number five. I like this in verse number six. We are of God. He mentioned that. This is the second time he mentioned it. In verse number four, he says, ye are of God. Now he says, we are of God. Aren't you so thankful we are of God? We don't have to live a life that's deceptive and defeated and discouraged. We can live a life that's pleasing and honoring to God. Our lives can be a living example for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to be, just be a Christian, I put there, just be a Christian. Understanding God wants to use us. He that knoweth God heareth us. Have you heard from God lately? It's quite a question, isn't it? There's been a time when you've read the Word of God. I was reading the other day in Acts 1:8, and it came into me. We're supposed to be witnesses into Jerusalem, into Judea, and Samaria, and unto the whole world. And the thought came to me as I was reading that, Pastor BJ, have we forgotten Jerusalem? Jerusalem is where we're at. Have we forgotten Jerusalem? Fellows, that could be a good message for you to look up sometime. Have we forgotten this? I think since the 60s, like I said, when I grew up, when they started taking prayer and the Bible out of classrooms and started putting in situations in schools, give pills to young girls so they don't become pregnant, and having lifestyles where men and women can use the same bathrooms and the same showers. Boy, that's a wicked lifestyle. Have we forgotten Jerusalem? Boy, that'd be a message. That'll preach, fellas, and I hope maybe somebody will pick it up and run with it. So we need to understand. It's going to take a lot of discernment of the Holy Spirit and the Bible to help you. But thank God we've got to be in tune with Him. We've got to be listening to the things of God to come from this pulpit in your Sunday school classes. We've got to be very attent. Because God's trying to speak to us. He wants us to have clarity. Yes, they're confusing times, but God wants us to have clarity. And He uses men of God, teachers of God, the Word of God, to speak to our hearts. God, help us to pay attention. God, help us to be understanding that we don't have to become a backslidden, carnal Christian, ending up with lives later that we'll regret and say to ourselves, boy, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have looked at that. I wish I hadn't have heard that. I wish I hadn't have seen that. You'll regret those things later. And so let's just be a Christian. Let's live a life that's pleasing and honoring to the Lord. I want you to turn, and I'm going to close with this passage here, Colossians 1:16 and 17. You know, as I look out sometimes, and I can see what the pastor says. You know, the pastor says, when I look out and I see the stars, I just think, boy, there's a God out there that did that. He's always saying that. How many times have I heard that? And I've only been here 2 years. He's always talking about that. And that's a reality. Look what that passage says there in Colossians 1:16 and 17. For by Him were all things created. You get that? That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. When I was working in the aerospace industry, we had this space shuttle. I was pastoring at the time. The space shuttle would fly right over the church where I was. Actually, I was an assistant pastor at that time for about 4 years. And the space shuttle would be landing at Vandenberg Air Force Base, and I'm sure a brother over here in the military knows exactly where that's at. Has one of the longest runways in the world. There's only a few places where that space shuttle could land. In fact, at the base at Vandenberg Air Force Base, they had to cut the hills down so when the wings of the space shuttle were coming through, you'd be driving here, and then the mountain there on that side would be all cut down so the wings could go right through it. And you could see that. I remember President Johnson drove by the facility one time when I was there and understanding. But I said all of this to say this. The Hubble telescope, just recently, I believe it was in the 3rd of October, I could be wrong on that, passed by the Milky Way. It had the best picture of the Milky Way. The space shuttle is about 350 miles above the Earth. And it's taking pictures of our atmosphere, taking pictures of the heavens and all of those things. And it discovered this fact, that the Milky Way is 100 light years across. You know how far that is? One light year is 6 million miles. You think someone's in charge of this? I think God's in charge, don't you? I'm just going to be a Christian. I'm going to trust the one that put the heavens in place. I'm going to trust him. And there's 350 billion galaxies besides the Milky Way. Can you see what a great God we serve? Let's just be a Christian. He wants to help us in our life. He wants us not to be defeated. Long before the sights and knowledge was possible through the powerful telescopes, they're supposed to put another one up in 2021, I believe, which is supposed to be 10 times as big as the Hubble telescope. They've adjusted it many times, went up and sent things up to it. But anyway, what I was going to say in this, before that was possible, Abraham Lincoln said this. Now catch this. This is very important. He says, I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist. You know, you can look down and look around at people. You can say, man, they're sure not living like a Christian. They're not acting like a Christian. They're not dressing like a Christian. They're not talking like a Christian. Amen? And you could say, well, there is no Christianity. And so that's how the atheists believe. But then he said this, and this so thrilled my heart. He says, I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up to the heavens and say, there is no God. My friends, there is a God. He's powerful, wants to use you. You can get as much of him as you want in your life. You can do astounding things for the Lord Jesus Christ. David said it this way, blessed is the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. You know, I thank God I'm saved. I can never really understand that. But you're looking at a man that's not the man I used to be. Thank God he saved me. And he can save us. He can save anyone in this room here tonight. God's blessings enable us to find clarity and confusion in a complicated world. Boy, I hope you want that in your life. Hey, let's be cautious. Maybe you've not been as cautious as you should have been. Let's be concerned. Let's examine some things. See if they are right. Let's be confident. Let's just trust God to direct our steps in our life. Let's be careful. Let's not get contaminated by this world that we live in. Let's just be a Christian. and let God work through us and just see what God can do through a life that's submitted unto Him. Amen and amen. Let's bow our heads and hearts and stand to your feet, please. Going to have a closing prayer here in just a moment. But maybe God has spoken to your heart in a way that through this message that could be a help to you. Maybe there's some things in your life you've not been real careful with. I'd advise you to come down to old-fashioned altar and say, God, I just ask you to help me. Help me in my life. Maybe you've not been as cautious as you should have been. Maybe you're in deep in some things of this world. You need to come down and say, God, I just ask for you to help me with that. I want to be a person that you can use. And I know you're looking for vessels that you can use. And you say, God, I just want to be used of you. And maybe there's someone here this morning, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, or this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know for a certainty where I'm going to spend eternity. Preacher, would you pray for me? It'd be an honor to pray for you. Maybe you're in the service here tonight, and by your uplifted hand, you say, preacher, pray for me. Is there anyone like that in here tonight? Maybe you say something like this. Preacher, I want to be a living example. I want to be a life that's so in tune to the things of God that I can have an impact and give clarity to the people around me. Say, preacher, I want to be like that. I just want to be a person that God can use. Is there anyone like that? God bless you. Many in here, God bless you folks. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the message tonight. Help us, Lord, to understand we can have clarity in confusing times. Thank you for those here at the altar here. I pray for all of us. I have to be careful in my life. I have to be cautious. Lord, you know my heart. I just want to be a Christian. And I hope that's the desire of every Christian in this room. Help us, Lord, to make an impact for our life for the cause of Christ. And I'll thank and praise you for what you'll do.